The moment is now.
You don't know what you're going to be great at until you get that moment and work at something as well, because a lot of people say, I couldn't do what you do. How do you know? If you want it enough, maybe you can.
What I would like to show people is that it doesn't matter where you're from in the world. You could be from some tribe in Africa or, you know, the Highlands of Scotland, from a little island on the west coast. It doesn't matter where you're from. It's really about how much you want to succeed in something. And I think being successful should never, or wanting to be successful, you shouldn't have any of these excuses. You know, it's a town is just a town. You know, you're your own person, so you've really got to kind of put in that effort and put in that hard work, you know, regardless where you're from.
I think in your life, you have to be at a moment where you're open to change, whatever it is. Everyone can say, I'm going to swim the English Channel, I'm going to swim around the world, or I'm going to run around the world, or, you know, it's just words, aren't they? The hardest thing is committing to it.
Today will be the day you feel yourself rising. Rising to be an improved person. Rising to cherish that person. That person is you. The competition you should have is with yourself. Now is the time to become someone you believe in, someone with purpose. Don't stop now. Don't stop until you know you can make it. Stand up to your success. Stand up to your power. This is your opportunity. Take it. Take it like you own it, because you do. The fire within you is still there.
We are all chasing an image. You know what I mean? I was chasing an image of a special forces soldier and how that would look, and I was forgetting the one fundamental thing that is so far more important than that, and that's a feeling. It should be the feeling you're chasing, not the image. You know, people want the perfect house, the perfect job, all this, that and the other, the perfect marriage, or whatever it is. But that's an image in your head. It doesn't mean that when you get there, you're going to feel that same passion for it. We all know, everyone knows that a lot of the time you have this visualization of how something might be, whether that's going out for the night, going to your favorite club or whatever, and it's always totally different when you get there. You know what I mean? So if you get too attached to the image of what you want, you're going to end up being disappointed when you get there.
You can make up as many excuses in your mind as you want with things, and as a kid, you know, I don't think I ever wanted to face failure. So, you know, I never wanted to take on too many big things. I think when I was younger, it probably been too much for me because I didn't want to fail. It's that word failure. So it's easy to use an excuse for not doing something because you might just end up sad or feel bad about yourself. But I think we all know you can make all the excuses in the world, but in the heart for hearts, why not just go through it, step over that line, see how capable you are, forget excuses, we have one life. I'd rather go for something and not achieve it and try really hard than just come up with excuses.
I think it's just, don't make yourself fall short. You know, it's so easy to accept that nothing is going to happen for you. You know, that you're just going to be another number. That's the easiest way. You know, get a job 9 to 5 and that's easy. You know, it's accept that something can happen, but you have to put the work in. It's just, don't be scared of hard work and, you know, let that fire that you've got in your belly, you know, translate into something good. You know, if you've got that passion and that drive, don't ever stop. You know, if you stop, I guarantee you, like, if you stop when you're 20, by the time you're 40, you're going to resent whatever that reason was you stopped. So say if you got married, your wife or your husband, whatever, isn't supportive, you're going to resent them in future life. So it's don't stop. It's just don't hold yourself accountable. You know, don't make these excuses. That's it. Hold yourself accountable. Don't make excuses and just have some pride in what you do. You know, I'm so proud what we've achieved. I can't even express how proud that I am. So just know that it's possible. Honestly, it's like, I could rant and rant, but it's like, just believe in yourself. That's it, it's simple. Believe in yourself and take pride in what you do. Don't ever let anyone say that you can't do it, because Tom and I are literally the living proof that you can achieve it. To be the strongest brothers that ever lived, if we said that 10, 15 years ago, people would laugh at me. I've said it to the promoters and stuff, Tom and I are going to be the strongest brothers that ever lived, and they laughed at me. Look at us now, that's it, done.
Well, I don't want to follow someone's footsteps, I want to create footprints. You know what I mean? That's with everything I do. So, you know, it was about redefining myself, recreating something new.
And you can achieve anything you want to in your life if you have that the right mind. For me, by having the mindset that I could achieve this, what seemed like an unreachable goal probably for your mind at the time, how do you know you're going to get up to this level? And your mind has to tell you, or has to risk the fact that, yeah, I can do this. And what is the worst thing that can happen? Oh, I give something a really good go, but I just don't make it. Is that really that terrible? Or do we use excuses and just don't even go for it? So I've understood that you can achieve anything if you've got the right mind. And I also believe your body responds if your mind's in the right place. The pain will subside, but the achievement will be there forever. So just think, Adam, when this pain goes away, what you've done and what will ever stop you again. The traffic jam and someone upsetting you is not going to match up to a Portuguese man of war sting, losing feeling in your spine and nearly going paralyzed. So that gave me complete perspective. If I was broken, I'd want to be fixed. So I would just go again until I was fixed. So the thing is, when you are broken, it doesn't necessarily last forever, does it? So you can be a bit broke, you stick it back together, and let's go again. Pain lasts for a minute, success lasts for a lifetime. Pain is temporary. Pain's got to go away at some point. So what it means to me is it's a process you have to go through to make you stronger. Everybody goes through it. It's going to come into your life. You know, I'm ready for it. At some point each day, there might be some little thing that shows you, but you know, as long as you're ready for it, as long as you're prepared to go through it, then it'll change and it'll give you success.
Struggled a lot to talk about things. You know, it's now I'm very open and I don't mind showing my emotion and stuff because it's healthy, I think. And to be honest, it's something that is such a massive thing that we all need to do is talk about stuff. But it's a struggle, you know, as a man and as a big, strong man, whatever you want to call it, it's tough to show kind of that other side. It's, you know, just kind of turning a blind eye and saying everything's okay and, you know, it's fine. It's not fine. You know, you've lost someone as important. Like, honestly, I can't even describe, put words, how important our mum was in our life. She was the son, like she was as important as a son for us. So losing someone like that, it's okay for it not to be okay, if that makes sense. You know, if you're having a bad time, you know, speak about it. And I actually went to therapy and talked about it with someone for quite a good couple of years. I'm just trying to work out things that were going on. You know, it's tough. It's not, because when I think when people see me, I'm quite happy and kind of, you know, one of the guys that kind of plays up to the crowd and everything like that. And that's how I am as a person. But on the other side, you know, you get the down days that like you just kind of knocks you out sometimes. And that's the days that you need that support, you know. So I'm so thankful that, you know, dad, brothers, sisters, my wife, so supportive. And it's just learning how to kind of communicate and kind of make sure that, you know, you're getting heard and you're not scared to be heard. And I think that's one of the most valuable things, certainly in the UK. You know, the suicide rates and stuff is just such a horrible thing to see people just crumble. And quite a big advocate of, like, being able to speak and, excuse me, trying to communicate with people that are struggling. You know, it's, because imagine being not as fortunate as us to have that family, you know, not to have your brothers, your dads, your wife, you're by yourself, you've lost the only person that's there for you, and you don't have anyone else. You know, that's the people that you've got to really help out for it. And as a, you know, society and humans, we want to be able to help these people out. And if we can do, if we can just help one person, you know, from doing anything silly or stupid, then, you know, we're doing a good job. And I implore anyone watching this or that know us just to get in touch and just reach out to us, because we're honestly, I'm always available for a chat for anything. It's okay to be able to say, I'm having a bad day with the wife, I'm having a bad day with my family or whatever. It's fine. No one's, like, I go into the supermarket and I sometimes have a panic, not a panic attack, feel anxious, and I hope no one's going to come and speak to me and get all hot and sweaty and panic. And, you know, it's okay to feel like that. It's not, you're not a freak to feel like that. It's just one of those things that, you know, you might be having a bad day, there might be something else in your head that's not healthy for you, but, you know, just know that it's not, you're not alone. You know, everyone has those feelings, and that's why everyone has those feelings. And we know that, we know there's a high suicide rate in men in the UK. So obviously other people are feeling the same as you. So go get help, go speak to someone, reach out to us, whatever, man. Just don't be scared. I mean, you're not any less of a man for speaking about it. I mean, it's not a big thing to talk about something, ask for help. In the opposite way, you know, you're probably more of a stronger person, you know, coming forward and saying, look, I'm not okay, is there any way that we could help? And luckily, you know, for me, what I found helped massively is training, going to the gym, you know, releasing that kind of anxiety, that kind of bad feelings I had through the weights, and that really transgressed, and I'm just such a better person now because I can talk about it with people and because I can train so much. Strong Man's kind of made me believe I'm more than just another number. You know, it's like being in that, working for someone else, you know, you're just a number to that company. But because of Strong Man, I'm more than a number. I'm Luke Stoltman, professional strongman, one of the strongest men in the world. So that's something that I can, you know, it's a legacy I'm trying to create for my family, and it is everything at the moment, and it's something that I've never thought possible. I mean, cut 10 years ago, and I started kind of doing it, started kind of, you know, getting into it. I didn't ever think that I'd have my own gym, I'd be competing all over the world with my brother, making money from it, being successful at it. I would never have thought that. I was just some daft Highlander, you know, going to these competitions that like to have fun. But cut again 10 years later, who knows, this year, you know, it might be a 1-2 Stoltman at the World's Strongest Man. That's the goal. If you want the easy life, then fine, man. It's not going to be rewarding. You know, doing something easy, you get little reward from it. Doing something hard and succeeding at doing a marathon, climbing Mount Everest, lifting 500 kilos, putting 230 kilos above your head, those are extremely hard things to do, but the reward is never ending. You know, making that historic lift, the historic whatever it is never ending. You know, so for Tom and I, strongest brothers in history, first brothers in history to ever make the World's Strongest Man final, that's never ending. I can boast about that forever. And that was hard to do. That was 99.99999% of people will never ever do that. And that's because too many people want the easy stuff. And they're happy with that. That's fine. But know that the harder way is always a bigger rewards. Nothing truer has ever been said. It's simple. You know, go down that. If you've got a path, easy path, hard path, hard path every time. Every time.
Luke actually started getting into the strongman scene, so it was when I went down to watch him compete. I watched on TV, I was like, you know, Luke's not going to go down and lift cars and stuff. I was like, this is going to be cool. So I went down with him to watch that, and it was that moment was when he started lifting the cars and the logs. I was like, this is fun. This is like what men should do, you know, not going to the gym lifting dumbbells and posing and stuff. This is kind of the real deal. This is what I want to be involved in. So it was after that moment we went to like a specialist gym in Inverness called The Forge, and that had all the kind of kit we needed. It didn't have the top of the range kit, you know. It had Atlas stones which were chipped out of it, you know. It had like a football bar instead of a log, but it still had the kind of basics. And then, you know, we bought a log into it. We started investing into the gym to get the strongman stuff. And it was from there, that was when I found that gym, fell in love, and started playing with kind of like the stuff I enjoyed to do, you know. Everything was kind of, I had to reprocess things 3 or 4 times over. So that's why I excelled at sport, because there's always, with people with additional needs, there's always one thing that they're good at, and there's always one thing that they don't exceed at all. There's never really in between. So I still excelled at sports, but could not do maths. Like, there was, I was maybe in S2, S3 doing like S1 maths, you know, whereas in sport I was like above in the class, you know. So there was, it's that kind of, for me it was a, that's a difference in it. And it was also the, like, I just could not look at people, couldn't talk, just couldn't even go on. Like, I first went on a train and bus, I think it was 14, 15 years old, you know, and first did a sleepover when I was in primary 7, so that would have been 12, 13 years old, you know. And it was a really hard thing for me, because, you know, I kept autism hidden the whole through kind of my childhood, primary school, and it wasn't until second or third year was when I was like, right, you know, I needed a lot of additional support in school. I didn't want my mates to laugh at me. I didn't want people to say, oh, why is Tom staying off school? Why is he not coming here? So that's when I told people and was more open. And since that day in school, that was the day that kind of a weight fell off my shoulders. I was like, this is, like, everybody accepted who I was, and it felt like a relief and emotional, because I thought people were going to be like, oh, you're weird, you're different, you know. We're, just because you got a label doesn't mean we're different people, you know. We're all the same at the end of the day. And then it was when I first did strongman, it really kind of got to me when I was, had like all the cameras on me, you know. With football, I wasn't at a high level, so it was just going out playing, going home, you know. And it was interviews and everything. Like, I'd have Luke at my side, he'd do all the talking, I'd just be like, head down, yes, yes, you know. So that was the hardest part for me. It was like, I love strongman, but I didn't want to do the talking side. And I think I just built the kind of the courage to kind of just be like, right, if I want to do this sport as a living, you know, I just need to man up and kind of each interview that comes, try and get better and better with it. And even now, you know, I'm sitting here doing this, but if this was 2-3 years ago, you'd get 1 or 2 words from me. So, I mean, I kind of had to, mature quick, you know. I mean, all my mates were jobs, mature, you know, girlfriends by the time they were 20, 21, they were all mature and stuff. But, you know, so I was like, I want to prove people wrong, you know. I want to prove, like, people that thought, like, oh, you're not going to do anything in your life, you're not going to get a girlfriend, you're not going to do nothing, you know, because my grades in school didn't really, you know, do the best. So I left school, you know, got a girlfriend at 18 years old, and then moved out of my house, I think it was at 20. So I was like, already, that's a massive step for me. A lot of people in the strongman game as well said, like, Tom, you're the future. This was when I was, like, in the junior ranks, you know, 21, 22. Oh, Tom, you're the future, you're this, you're that. But, you know, I was physically strong, but mentally was the thing that really let me down when I was a junior. I mean, I thought I was going to win every junior title there was, but it was my mental aspect of things. If, you know, if I came last in an event, that would be me done. You know, I couldn't say that, oh, I can still win this. I would just throw my stuff away and walk off, and that would be me done. And it wasn't until I came last in Britain's Strongest Man in, I think it was 2017, I didn't even finish the comp. I came 13th, so I was dead bottom, didn't get to the stones, and I kind of just went backstage. And that's when Shay came to me and, like, said, I'll go out there and do stones, go out there and do stones. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. So that was when I kind of went home. I was like, you know, am I capable of doing this sport? Because, like, physically I could do it, but mentally I just was in bits, you know. I just didn't believe in myself. When you have, like, loads of people putting pressure on you, like, saying, oh, you're the next big thing, you know, that piles on your shoulders. So I took a month or two off the sport and then came back and, like, got my mental aspect just bang. I think I just took all the pressure off myself and just believed in me. And if people want to say, oh, Tom's the next best thing, Tom's not going to do nothing, they can't. I just kind of started concentrating on myself and really, really, really got my mind thinking that, like, you know, I can be the best and I need to see it, I need to prove it. And having Sinead, Luke, the family there to help me was one of the best things, you know. Yeah, well, obviously, like, with strongman, you know, you're away from family, you know, you have to kind of sacrifice a lot of things. And in my eyes, strongman's probably one of the toughest mentally, like, on your mental You know, you have to be mentally and physically strong. I think it's one of the toughest sports you can do. And for me, having Asperger's, you know, and autism, and, you know, telling, putting it out there that, like, people with this disability can do stuff, you know, and it's just a label. And the amount of people I've kind of helped to say, like, oh, you know, they want to be the next Tom Stoughton, because it's just unbelievable, you know, and that's what I want to keep doing. And it's just, yeah, putting yourself in situations that you never thought you could handle is a great feeling as well, you know, because, like, I've been in situations in Strawman where Luke's not been there, you know, I have to get out of it myself. And it's just, I can now do that, you know, whereas I didn't ever be able to do that without anybody around me, so. Yeah, I've always kind of said, I mean, like, going through school, the thing that stuck up to me was, like, a teacher said, oh, you're not going to do nothing. And that kind of stuck with me because, you know, a lot of with people with additional needs, you know, if someone says that, they'll believe it. And I believed that for a long, long time. So I just think you need to kind of keep around positive people, you know, choose the right group of people you want to be around, make sure there's loads of positivity in your life, and that whatever you want to do, whatever goal you want to set, if it's the biggest goal, smallest goals, just go out and smash it, because, you know, I'm an example of it, you know, and I've proved hundreds and hundreds of people wrong, and that's what kind of I'm wanting a lot of other people to do, and that's what I'm trying to show people, that, you know, just because I've got Asperger's doesn't mean I'm going to sit back and not achieve goals, you know. I want to be the best in the world, and I'm going to be the best in the world. So, yeah, I just think have a positive attitude to everything you do, and just be around positive people, and you'll get far in life with those two things. Yeah, well, my mum was there through day one, you know, and my dad's been there as well. It's been harder for him because obviously he works on the oil rigs as well. So when I kind of got diagnosed, he was working abroad, so it was harder. But I mean, my sister worked at groups that had autistic people there, so she was like the chairperson of it around the Highlands, so that was a massive help. She was a step above everyone in it, so that was kind of an advantage for me. You know, everyone kind of just, look, everybody accepted who I was in my family, you know, there's nobody disowned me. Everybody was helpful, and, like, they just kind of knew that I wasn't as mature as, you know, the other family members. They knew that I had to process things slower, so they just helped me. And, like, Sinead as well, massively thankful for her, because she kind of not really experienced it, you know. When I came to her, she thought I was, you know, like, overly shy, you know, because head down, when I went to meet her parents, it was just like one, two words. But then they kind of knew what the, you know, autism was, and from, like, the day I met them, they made me feel comfortable, you know. And it's just unbelievable having the right people, like I said, around you to kind of get out your shell and blossom. So that's what I'm trying to do, you know, help people. And I've talked to a lot of school and had a lot of, like, ambassadors and contact me, and that's what I'm trying to do, just get that word out. It's just being positive and not letting anybody kind of stop your goals, you know. So yeah, having Luke in the sport was, I think, a massive advantage for me, you know. I didn't live up to my potential as much as I should have, because obviously the mental side, but I think just being in the gym and doing, like, the deadlifts and squats, you know, a lot of young guys want to do just arms, bench press, shoulder press, you know, that kind of stuff. But Luke made me go, like, from day one, go in 100% and just do the deadlifts and squats and get that kind of the technique right, and that can put me an advantage, you know. When I entered my competitions, I helped Luke. I helped Luke win Scotland Strongest Man. I came fifth, so, and that qualified me for UKs, and I was like, geez, you know, I can actually lift some weights. But yeah, so it was more just having Luke there as, like, a role model, you know. I always looked up to him in the gym, you know, everything. I didn't realise how hard it was until I actually went, you know, and just, like, the hours Luke put into the gym was crazy. And then it was just having him to do my diet. He did everything for me, and if it wasn't for Luke, you know, I would not be where I am today, 100%, you know. So yeah, I'm, like, so proud to be a Stoughton, you know. It's like, I just want to make this name a legacy, you know. I don't want to just win World's Strongest Man once. I just want to win it multiple times. I want to break as many records as I can. I just want this name to be, like, as soon as someone says Strongman, they remember this name, Stoughton. You know, we're already making a legacy with being the strongest brothers to ever live, which is mind-boggling, like I said, coming from a small town in Invergordon. You know, you're like, yeah, Stoughton's just a name that I want to, like, be the, like, limelight of Strongman in the next year or two, so.